Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be here and good to be alive and in God's house. Now, this may be a little longer message. I got two pages of notes. Normally, I got one. So if you got lunch plans, just hold them out a little bit longer. I'll be done eventually. I'll be done by 1:30, I promise. So. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 26, and verses 36 through 39. Today we're looking at what took place in Gethsemane, and the songs today were just perfect for today's message. And when you get to Matthew 26, verses 36 through 39, if you're able, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which is James and John, and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for the reading of your word. And God, let us not forget what was done at Calvary. Because what was done at Calvary was such an important time that Jesus shed his blood and died for our sins, that we would have life, that we would have it abundantly, that we could come back to you in fellowship and be one with you, Father. So God, thank you for your Son Jesus. Thank you for his sacrifice on the cross. We are truly and eternally grateful for it, Lord. And now, God, as I preach this message, Father, let every word come straight from you through your Holy Spirit, and we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Now, there's a lot going on here from this passage of Scripture. Jesus is entering probably one of the most difficult seasons of his life. Jesus knew before he left heaven to come to this earth to be born as a child, Jesus knew what he had to do. But here it is. It's come down to the moment. I mean, it's on a wire. So here's what Jesus is going through. Jesus has been through a lot of rejection. Judas has betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Basically, he ratted out where they could find Jesus, where he would be at, so that he could be arrested. So Jesus he's been turned away by so many people. He has felt loss. He's felt rejection. He's felt loneliness. He's felt heaviness. And Jesus has come to this point where he goes into the garden. And what we're looking at, what took place, is we're looking at Jesus' humanity. We're looking at his divine nature. We're also looking at his ultimate surrender to God's will and the lessons for every believer that's facing their very own crushing moment. So Jesus is going into the place of prayer, which is called Gethsemane. Now, how many of you know what Gethsemane stands for? Does anybody want to take a quick answer at what Gethsemane is? Yeah, right. It's where they pressed olives there. And I want to point this out to you. When olives are pressed at Gethsemane, olives often became under a lot of pressure to get the finest oil. How many of you have ever had extra virgin olive oil that's been cold pressed out of a glass bottle? I'm telling you what, man, some of the best tasting stuff. But anyway, to get the best oil out of an olive, it had to be pressed. It had to really be squeezed. I mean, the pressure's really on that olive, and that's when the good oil, the best oil comes out of it. So Jesus is going into the garden, and he's basically being pressed. He's being squeezed in his life. Now, this is what we have to remember about Jesus. He is the Son of God. He walked this earth, and he knew no sin. But remember, Jesus took on human form. And I want you to picture this and get this deep in your heart. Jesus suffered every agonizing thing that every other human being would go through because he is our example. He wanted us to know that he is walking literally every avenue in life, and he has gone through so many things that you and I would face in our lives to come. So here Jesus, he's facing the fact that there's a lot happening here, and he's going into the garden, and he's feeling himself to the point of death. And one of the accounts of the gospel, and I believe it's Luke that says that the blood, that his sweat became like drops of blood because he grieved so deep. Now you think about this. You're a human being, and you're about to be arrested. Everybody's turned against you. You're all alone. And not only this, but Jesus was getting ready to take the sins of the world upon himself. And do you know what that means? He was going to be rejected by his father during that time. His father was literally going to turn his face away from his son. Now you think about that. God the Father and Jesus the Son, they're one. They're in perfect unity. And all of a sudden, Jesus, the Son of God, who is perfection, who was immortality, he became mortal, and he's going to bear the sins of every living person upon his own self. So perfection is taken upon the dirtiness and the sin and the rebellion of the world so that we would have a way to be reconciled to God. And Jesus is feeling every bit of the pressure at this point in his life. So he's being pressured. Now I want to tell you this, that God will prepare us in places of pressure before major moments in life. So this is the point where Jesus is bowing on his face. And he's praying to the Father. And he says, Father, now listen to his words. He says, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Now, how many of us would be willing to face being put on trial and then being beaten beyond recognition where literally the flesh was just barely hanging off of his bones? You all have probably seen pictures in the Bible, pictures in storybooks, Bible storybooks, and Jesus had a little, or you might have seen movies where they didn't want to gross people out, so they put just a little bit of blood. That ain't nothing what Jesus went through. Jesus had 10-inch thorns that was going to be pressed down on his head, and they were going to pierce and penetrate and get deep within his head. And he was going to experience one of the most agonizing and painful deaths on a cross. So he says, Father, if you were in this place, I think you'd be saying the same thing, and I would too. Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me, because he physically and mentally and emotionally was trying to wrap around, how did I get here? Why me? How many of you ever been there in life? Man, you're going through something pretty agonizing, and really, we have all faced something where we thought literally we were going to die if we didn't make through it first. But here we are pressed. Now, I want to share something with you. This is something that I was supposed to hear this when little Samuel was born yesterday. The babies were taken by C-section, and Samuel was the first one out. I kind of got a kick out of this because they said his hind end was up in the air already and he was on his way out. But they took little Samuel and they laid him on my granddaughter's chest. And Aaron, her husband, you talk about a faithful young man, a good Christian young man and a good husband. He sat there and Aaron held his finger out towards Samuel and touched him, and Samuel grabbed Aaron's finger and just squeezed. Aaron said he was really, that little baby was just holding my finger. And then Jaden had her hand there, and little Samuel grabbed a hold of Jaden's finger and laid there for about 3 to 4 minutes, and then he passed away. And I want to say this. Jaden and Aaron are at a time in their life. They knew this was coming. The doctor said this was probably very well going to happen. And it's because his head, the skull had not fully developed around the brain back here. But we have to trust God in these moments. So when little Samuel died, her mom said that there was a sound that come out of her. She had heard her cry before, but she said this sound was a sound like she never heard before. So she's pressed. She's in a moment where all she could do is turn to the Father. Because we know that we're going to be held to the fire at some point in our life. And all we can do really is cry out to the Father. He is the only one who hears our cries, and He's the only one that can touch us and be with us in our pain. Now, what I love about what Jesus did here, though, He said, not my will be done, but thy will be done. And I start thinking about that for just a moment, and I'm like, wow. Jesus was not selfish in any way. Now, Jesus could have said, you know, Father, couldn't we do this a whole different way? But that wasn't God's plan. Now, you know, back in the Old Testament, that blood atonement was the only way for forgiveness of sins because they sacrificed animals. Well, that was the old covenant. But God the Father knew that it had to be a pure lamb, which was His Son, that would die and shed His blood so that you and I could be forgiven. Because we were so far apart from God. Now, I mean, this should really be hitting us. This ought to hit us square between the eyes this morning. This ought to pierce our hearts in a way that we're in awe of what the Lord has done for us. He left the glory of heaven to come here and to live in human form, to show us the way to live, to show us the way to be submissive, and to show us that we need to turn to the Father each and every day of our lives. So here's Jesus, and He says, okay, I'll do it. This is where His ultimate surrender to God's will happened. He was not selfish in any way, shape, or form, but He said, not my will, but thy will be done. And when Jesus had finally got done, and you know how the Gospels, there's always a little bit of difference in what the Gospels say, but He came out and He found the disciples asleep, and He's like, why are you guys sleeping? Pray with me, watch with me. And He goes back in and prays more. But finally, when it all come down to it, where Judas had betrayed Jesus, they found him and they came and arrested him. And they took him away out of the garden. So Jesus was feeling all of this pain. You and I are going to feel pain in life. And sometimes I wonder, when Jesus was praying, did he run out of words? And maybe the only thing there was a groaning in his spirit. I want to tell you this. It's okay that when you pray to God, it's okay to go to God, and it's okay to be real with the Lord. That's what Jesus was doing. Jesus was being real and honest and open with the Father. But it's okay if we go. Did you know it's okay to go to God and be upset and be emotional and angry and crying? And sometimes there's nothing you can ever say. There's sometimes that all you could ever do is maybe fall on the floor, get on your knees and weep, because your heart is so crushed with emotion. There's so much baggage on top of us sometimes. We literally feel like we're being crushed. And this is the point where, just like the olives, the oil is being squeezed out of them. When you feel like that you are being crushed, this is the point where we have to give it to God and say, okay, Lord, I'm being pressured here, but this is where I want my best to come out. This is where I need your strength to just enter me and lift me up. And this is where I need you to carry me, Father, because I can't do it. See, he understands the groanings that are going on in our spirit. He understands the pain-filled words. He understands every tear that runs down your face, or down my face, or maybe the face of somebody that's next to you. Whether it be at church, whether it be at a funeral, or in a hospital setting, whatever it is, God understands. But he wants us to cry out, and he wants us to be real and express ourselves. Because you know what? When you do that, you're saying, Father, I don't have it in me. See, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Did you know that? His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Something that I heard yesterday really ministered to me. Aaron and Jaden are at this place in life. They knew it was coming, and it's happened now. Little Samuel didn't make. Now the girls are doing good. But the discussion was, why? Why is this happening? Why does this little baby have to die? Okay, we don't know why. But here's something that I want to point out to you. I certainly believe at some point in Aaron and Jaden's life, I firmly believe that they're going to be ministering to other young couples who have walked the same road that they're walking right now. Because you know why? Because God lets each and every one of us go through seasons of trials so that we will grow, so that it will increase our faith, so that our best, when we are squeezed, that our best comes out, that we learn to trust God more and more with our lives every day and with every situation that we're going to encounter. And that allows us, ourself, to be an effective witness and a minister to people that are around us. Now, I'll tell you something. I think about this a lot. Laura and Sarah are blessed. They have the store up here. And do you wonder how many people, and I don't know, but I'm sure that, Laura, I'm sure you've prayed with people before up there. And I'm sure she's ministered, Sarah too, has ministered, well, even in Sarah being a first responder, has ministered to so many people that are going through maybe some of the most difficult seasons of their life. And maybe it's something that they've been through theirself. But they have the understanding of the situation, and God is working through us so that we can reach deep into the heart of that person that we are ministering to, and we can say, yes, I connect with you here. I know what you're feeling. I understand your pain. I've walked that road. Now, I was telling Effie this morning, a while back, we had a family come here on a Sunday morning for church. And I preached in the message about my mother having the Alzheimer's and having took care of her, and what it was a difficult road. But God helped me through it. And afterward, gentleman in that family come up to me and says, Pastor, can I talk to you? And he started laying it all out there. He says, I'm taking care of my mom right now. And he said, I literally thought I was just going to cave because this is too much for me. He said, do you know what it's like? My mom, the person that I knew, now she ain't there. Her mind is gone. And I said, but the best thing you can do is love her and take care of her and be there for her. Maybe some of you have been there yourself. But as I witnessed and ministered to him about what I went through, we ended up praying together. And I thanked God that he brought that life and that problem my way that Sunday morning. Because by God's power and God's authority, I was able to witness to that man and pray with him. And boy, did he ever leave here with a smile on his face. Because God. See, Jesus experienced real human anguish. And he knows how we feel in times of adversity. Because this moment of intensity, Jesus felt the weight of the cross coming. He knew the sins of the world were going to be placed on him. And he knew that God was going to forsake him. He knew it was coming. And Jesus was open about his own feelings. So the prayer of submission was this. Jesus prayed his prayer to the Father. What was in his heart, he prayed it. He didn't hold nothing back. And Jesus expressed his desire honesty. Let this cup pass from me if it be thy will. He was just being honest as any person would be. But then ultimately he submitted to the Father's will. Now, this prayer was not just asking God to change circumstances. It is surrendering a will to the Father's. And I want to say something to everyone here today. Each and every moment of your life, you have to surrender your will to the Father's. Now, we think that we have it all worked out. We think we have our lives in order. And you know what? There's people who do. And there's people who never turn to God for nothing. And I just believe that the Lord says, all right, you don't want me in your life? I'll be a gentleman and I'll step back and step out of it. But if you need me, I'm here. I don't know who could go through this life without God. And I've been at funerals. And I've heard of people that's passed away that didn't know Jesus. And I've heard people say, well, there's folks here that don't know Jesus. I don't even know how they're going to make it through this. But ultimately, we have to submit our will to God's. Because even though we think we have it all in order, sometimes we don't. I would rather submit my will to God's will, and I would rather live for Him so that I could be blessed. Now, I'm not financially rich, and I don't have the finest hillside home in a big neighborhood, and I don't have the designer, all that junk, and I don't need none of that. But you know what I do have? I have God the Father. I have Jesus, His Son, as my Savior. And I have the Holy Spirit living within me. And I'll tell you this, when I've been pressed in life, like I am even right now, I mean, I would have loved to have gotten to hold this little baby boy. But I won't get to, and that's okay. But even though it hurts right now, I tell you what, be impressed. I can say, Father, I want the best. If I'm being squeezed, then I want the best of me to come out. And what I mean by that is I want my faith to really grow large here. I want my trust to be stronger than it's ever been before. I'm basically telling God, I want to show you that I'm sticking close to your side and I'm keeping my eyes on you and I'm going to walk this journey every step of the way. Now I get to the second page now. The pattern for believers. Now there's three things I want us all to learn from this occurrence, three things about prayer. Number one, pray honestly. And I said this a minute ago, tell God exactly how you feel. You know why? Because He already knows. So you're not going to hide nothing from Him. You're not going to surprise God in any way, shape, or form. You know, if you come to God and you're angry and you're mad and you're just punching a pillow or you're hitting the ground, whatever, and boy, you're just great. God's not going to go, oh my, I can't believe that my child is so mad at me. God's not going to, God already knows and God is already big enough to handle it. So if you have to yell, if you have to cry, let it out. Because I'm telling you what, when you're real before God, that's when God's going to show you just how real He is. God's going to show you His love and His mercy and His grace. And pray persistently. Now Jesus, throughout His entire life, what did Jesus do a lot of? He prayed. And why did He pray? Because it kept Him in constant fellowship with the Father. He knew the Father's will. And He had fellowship with the Father when He prayed. And He grew in His Father each and every moment that He prayed. So you and I need to pray persistently. That's why the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Yes. That means, now, that doesn't mean drive, you know, you're driving down the interstate running 70 miles an hour, and then you think, oh, I better pray about something. Then you don't bow your head and close your eyes while you're behind the wheel, please. You don't always have to bow your head and close your eyes to pray. So even though you're driving down the road, and if you feel a need and an urge to pray, pray. Especially with some of the folks that drive around. I've had some folks drive around us going on trips, and I've had to start praying. God, get me around this truck, get me around that car, and get me in front of them. That's all I'm asking, Lord. But pray without ceasing. And then pray submissively. And by submission, your will be done and not mine. I tell you what, life will go... Let me rephrase this. Life with God is always good. Now, it's not always going to be rosy and good, but if you submit and surrender your will to God's and you see just how good He is through your troubles and trials and you see just how loving He is and how much He can strengthen you and how He can lift you up, then you'll see just how good God is through everything. Now I won't bring that into the sermon, but it was something sweet. Maybe I'll share it sometime later. But I want us to think about this. Before Jesus went to the cross, He was in the garden, and the only thing He could do was pray. So before you come to the cross you have to bear, will you take time to pray? And before the victory came the surrender. Now, the victory happened when Jesus got nailed to the cross, and then the Bible says that he looked to heaven and He said, Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit. And Jesus died. It's finished. It was done. He died, so the victory happened. But He had to surrender first. That's the whole thing about it. Jesus had to surrender. So this I want to encourage you with this morning. Quit running with it. Surrender it. Whatever it may be in your heart and life, please surrender it to God. It might be you. It might be somebody in your family. It might be a friend. It may be some other aspect of life, but please surrender it, because eventually the victory will come. And let me say this, and I want you to really pay attention. The victory may, listen, victory may not happen while we're alive in this physical body, but when we get to heaven, oh, what sweet victory we'll have. When we take our last breath and we step over to the other side and we go through those beautiful pearly gates, and when we see Jesus face to face, the one who died on the cross, the one who prayed in the garden, the one who said, "I'll go die for everybody that's going to sit in Boscadale Baptist Church one day, for anybody who's ever going to live," he went and did it. What a sweet day that's going to be. So we may not ever have the victory here. Now, we do have victory by trusting in the Lord, but healing may not ever come physically, and healing may not ever come emotionally, but you've got to trust God, and you've got to have faith, because He will carry you through. Jesus still went to the cross and suffered and died. When we face our own difficult cup, we can follow the example of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So remember, you will be pressed. What's going to come out of you? Be like the olive. Boy, that fine oil just come running out of that. And boy, that's the best stuff. Best things come out of you when you're under pressure. I remember when I accepted the call to become a preacher, when you talk about being under pressure, I didn't let God have my finest, because I rejected Him and I ran from Him. But you know, I tried to run and hide so many places, and I found out pretty quick you can't hide from God. I'd go do something to try to get away from the call, and it was still there. And I tell Lord, "I don't want to preach. Leave me alone." And my grandfather used to tell me, "You're going to be a preacher one day." No, I'm not. I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want that. And then finally, you talk about being under pressure one night. I finally bowed down in the floor in my bedroom, and I said, "Okay, God, if you want me to preach, I'll preach. But look what you got to work with. I got a lot of changing I got to do." Because see, I was still smoking cigarettes. And I was still, you know, I still had some bad habits. But, you know, not my will, but let Your will be done, Lord. And you know, after I prayed that night, about an hour or so later, telephone rang. And on the other end was Reverend David Hancock. I could barely make out a word he said because he sounded so terrible. He said, "Jim, can you preach for me tomorrow at my church?" He said, "I'm sick. I need you to teach my Sunday school class too." I thought, boy, you talk about surrendering, and boy, you talk about getting thrown out there into the lion's den. Woo, it happened. And I won't forget, they were singing the song. I went to church that next Sunday morning, and I sat on the front row at Indian Camp Baptist Church in Dykersburg, Illinois. I sat on that front row with my knees knocking. It sounded like a woodpecker on the side of an oak tree. My knees was knocking so loud. And I was scared to death. And I said, "Lord, let them sing another song. I don't want to go up here yet. I'm too scared." And the Lord just said, "True, trust me. Trust me. And I got up in the pulpit, and I remember I didn't preach a sermon, but the Lord spoke it through me. 39 years later, 39 years, have I always been worth it? No. No, I don't think so. He does. He loves me that much. And I'm telling you what, I've been pressed a lot, and I've lost a lot in life, but I've gained everything in Jesus. So what happened in the garden? You know it now. I pray that you'll apply it to your life and that you'll do the same thing Jesus did.